I'm not numb, just no one will touch me. By Oracle of Absolute Hoopla. Read by Patica. Summary. Five times Mac helped Fitz, but Fitz really helped himself. 1. Fitz knows what happened to him. He knows that he is hurt in a way that will never truly go away. Brain damage isn't something that can be cured. It's different for every person who has it. Some people get worse as time goes on. Some get better, or at least more able to function close to normal. And some people just stop. Fitz is terrified he will just stop. You shouldn't be, Fitz. You shouldn't be. He also knows that Simmons is gone, that she had to leave or she would only hurt herself more. He could never hate her for that. But he hates that it hurts. He hates that he sees a shade of her, and that it's probably what keeps him going. Not loyalty or honor or friendship. A construction of his own mind is all that compels him. It's like all those other things have dulled, that he can't feel them as readily as he once did. Fitz misses Ward, too. He can't look Sky in the eye because of that. It tastes like betrayal. And Coulson, how, hey, a voice calls out from across the lab. Mind giving me a hand, man? Fitz spins around to find Mac standing on the threshold, wiping grease off his hands and giving Fitz a lazy smile. Fitz frowns. What? The rest of the word doesn't come out. Simmons rubs his shoulder, but Mac doesn't have a trace of pity on his face. I'm trying to restore the director's car, the 62 Chevy Corvette. He makes a gesture behind him. I was just wondering if you could help me out. Some of the stuff it's been modded with goes over my pay grade. A hand comes up to the Scottish scientist's mouth, and he bites down on his thumb. For a long moment, he fights back stutters, before stepping closer to the mechanic. Thing is, he likes Mac. And Simmons likes him too. Which means part of his consciousness likes him too. He likes him, likes that he treats him like someone solid and not a piece of cracked glass. It makes Fitz feel like he's standing on solid ground again. He likes Mac. But he liked Ward too. You don't need my help. He says it quietly so no one else in the lab will hear. Oh, Fitz. Simmons sighs, but he pays her no mind. Pays his mind no mind. Mac grins. Maybe not, he says ruefully, crossing his rather nice arms across his chest. Doesn't mean I don't want it, though. It takes him a moment to take that sentence in and translate it. But when he does, he looks up at the taller man. He looks hopeful. Might as well indulge him. Simmons says from over his shoulder. He is new to the team. He's probably lonely. Plus, you do need a break. Fitz nodded. Is that a yes? Mac chuckles. Fitz tries to say something snarky. He'll have to say it another day. Instead, he steps past him and makes his way over towards the garage. I'll take that as a yes, then. They work on the car for 4 hours in relative silence, until Fitz comes upon the part that makes the car fly and spends the better part of an hour telling Mac exactly how it all works. He takes in every word. Coulson comes down and almost cries when he sees them fixing his baby. He gives Fitz a hug, and he feels the earth settle under him. 2. It's 2 in the motherfucking morning. Mac grumbles this into his pillow, but it doesn't stop the knocking on his door. Someone is knocking quickly and loudly on his door at 2 in the morning. On a Saturday. Mac groans as he stands up, throwing on some boxers as he strides sloppily to the door. If whoever it is has the indecency to wake him at this hour, they can damn well put up with his semi-nakedness. This had better be important. He opens the door. And it fits. He kind of wishes he had put pants on now. But if the smaller man notices, he doesn't say anything. He is grinning up at Mac, looking all of 7 years old in his Star Trek pajamas. Scones! Huh? Huh? I... The smaller man makes a spinning gesture around his head. I remember! Scones! You remember scones? You remember how to make scones? Yeah! Yes! Yeah! Fitz is grinning now, bouncing up and down on the balls of his feet. Like a puppy. And why do you want me? Fitz flaps his hands at him, making a humming noise, before waving down the hall towards the kitchen. Just come! Just come on! Fitz grabs onto Mac's arm, and before the bigger man can even consider putting on some pants, he is being pulled down the hall. Okay, scones it is. Fitz throws his all into making the biggest batch of scones that Mac has ever seen, talking a million miles an hour while he does. Mac catches all the things he drops, steers him away from the open oven, talks when he gets lost in his head, and just mostly gets covered in flour. It's not how he would usually spend his morning, but it's fun. May wakes up first out of everyone and walks into the kitchen to find Mac and Fitz eating the biggest pile of scones she has ever seen. She stops on sight. Scones? Fitz hums through a mouth full of the food. With cream? Of course, ma'am, Mac answers for the other man. We aren't heathens. Her face gives away nothing, but Mac is sure she looks amused. Without a word, the woman rounds the counter, sitting down next to Fitz to prepare her own snack. She puts a huge spoonful of cream on hers, and Fitz chuckles. She definitely smiled that time. Any reason why you're naked, Agent McKenzie? Fitz squawks and blushes furiously. Now he catches on. Ma'am, is there any other way to make scones? May snorts and flicks cream at his face with deathly accuracy. 3. The thing is, Mac isn't stupid. He spends the most time with a Scottish scientist out of everyone on the base. Their jobs usually overlap, and he enjoys the smaller man's company. He spends enough time with Fitz to realize that sometimes he talks to people who aren't there. People who Mac is pretty sure look like the Agent Simmons he's heard about. He is also pretty sure that Fitz knows that the Simmons he sees exists only to him. It worries Mac enough to do some research on brain damage, but he doesn't treat Fitz any different. That's not what the smaller man needs from him. But then Simmons comes back. Mac is really impressed with the lady scientist. She went on an independent mission to infiltrate Hydra, no backup possible, and came out of it with enough information to start to turn the tide of the war in their favor. AKA, she is a straight-up badass. She is also really sweet, firm in a kind way, and Mac watches as all of Sky and Tripp's built-up animosity melts away within the first hour of her being back. But when Simmons goes to see Fitz, everyone is worried enough to hover around the doorway of the lab, May and Hunter included. Coulson and Koenig are watching from his office. Mac is 98% sure. Simmons is the most nervous of them all, though, standing on the threshold, clenching and unclenching her hands before approaching her best friend. Mac was nervous that Fitz wasn't going to recognize this Simmons was real. He bit his tongue and waited with everyone else. It went surprisingly well. For a while. Evidently, Fitz could tell the difference between the Simmons in his mind and the Simmons outside it. Sky got all teary-eyed when the two scientists started talking, saying they were acting like nothing had changed. Mac felt the tension in his shoulders ease when a bright grin spread across his smaller friend's face. Today was a good day. Fewer stutters, and his arms weren't constantly wrapped around himself in a shield. But then, Fitz talked to the wrong Simmons.
Who are you talking to, Fitz?
They all watched in varied level of shock, and Mac watched as something clicked behind May's eyes as she put everything together. This wasn't good.
Fitz, are you seeing?
The smaller man was retreating back in on himself, no words coming out through stutters, and hands pulling at his sweater. Mac couldn't take it.
Hey, Turbo, he said in the sunniest voice he could manage,
walking into the lab to stand at arm's length from Fitz and blocking the other's view.
You hungry, man?
Fitz's eyes snapped up and focused on him, and after a long moment, the words seemed to translate as a hand came up to twist the curls at the back of his neck.
Hungry. Yeah.
He smiled a little sweet smile.
Toasted cheese sandwiches?
Max snorted.
Don't know how you aren't sick of them yet, man.
Fitz snorts.
Just us?
The smaller man hesitated.
Yeah.
Fitz chuckled softly, but Mac couldn't help seeing the look of complete sadness that Simmons was flicking between the two of them. She looked so lost, and it made Mac feel unjustly guilty. With a sigh stopped in his throat, Mac moved towards the other door of the lab, shooting a look over his shoulder to Trip, who nodded back. No one would follow them. Fitz shuffled after him, keeping his head down so he wouldn't see Simmons as she tried to catch his eye. Mac could see that she wanted him to stay, to talk to him. But Mac could see the signs of Fitz on the brink of a full system shutdown. He had only seen it happen twice, and he was pretty sure the smaller man wouldn't want the team to see him like that, least of all Simmons. They walked in silence to Fitz's room, where the scientists had set up a makeshift kitchen. The sandwich press in the regular kitchen made a humming noise that only Fitz could hear that caused him pain. Mac made sure to buy him one that didn't hum. As they walked, Mac felt a finger hook through one of his belt loops, and Fitz's body heat moving closer. He made sure not to react.
Thank you.
He sounded so small.
Anytime, bud. Now let's grill some cheese.
Simmons left again. There was a chance that she could help bring down one of the bigger Hydra strongholds. And this time, she would have the full support of all that S.H.I.E.L.D. currently was. She hesitated, but eventually agreed. How couldn't she? She got to talk to Fitz properly before she left, without prying eyes, so that he could properly and privately explain everything that he had and was going through. They still needed work, but things were patched up enough that her leaving wouldn't hurt him as much as the last time. Before she goes, she makes sure to find Mac and give him a hug.
Thank you for taking care of him.
He doesn't need me to take care of him. He just needs me to lean on until he realizes that.
4. Things get worse in the world, and then they get better. Fitz, for a time, gets worse, and takes to hiding behind Mac whenever anyone is in the room. Formerly dead, former Director Fury shows up with a green-haired girl with the ability to control metal, or magnetism, or something. No one explains anything to Mac. She has a calming nature on Fitz, though, and Mac is glad that he is making new friends. They are gone as quickly, and as explosion-filled, as they came, though. Ward gets out. Skye has a breakdown and then pulls herself back together. Hartley comes back half-robot, and not at all the woman they remember. Hunter puts her down, but he goes down with her. Her dad shows up. Mockingbird shows up. Black Widow and Hawkeye show up. They weren't happy with Coulson. Coulson disappears and comes back with a smile. May relaxes a little. Ward takes a bullet for Skye and can't be saved.
He gets an unmarked grave, and no one cries at his funeral. Some of them cry after, and feel bad for missing a traitor. Trip and Skye fall into bed together, and everyone pretends not to know. Fitz gets hurt, and no one breathes for a few weeks. Mac barely leaves his bedside. He wakes up and seems none the worse. Everyone breathes again. But after everything goes to hell a couple of times, things do get better. More people come to their side. Their bases are more well-stocked and spread out. The underground movements are now on their side. Simmons has toppled several large Hydra bases, and her cover remains intact. A think tank called AIM has taken down a few, but no one is sure if they are trustworthy yet. Coulson and Skye finally get answers. And one day, when the bus is parked in a canola field in outback Australia, Victoria, somewhere where they have a lot of cows, Swan something? Swan Hill? Mac is sitting on the ramp of the plane, feet dangling amongst the yellow flowers, and hands tinkering with an old invention, when Fitz comes and sits down next to him. Their thighs brush against each other, and Mac realizes how comfortable he is with Fitz's presence. It's the norm now. I don't see Simmons anymore. Mac drops the invention in surprise, and it disappears between the tall yellow flowers. What? Simmons in my head? She hasn't been here for a few weeks. Mac doesn't know what to say. So he says nothing. He puts his hand on the back of Fitz's neck, going for warm and comforting, and they sit and watch the yellow field of flowers until the sun goes down. 5. Fitz knows that on some level, he has always been attracted to Mac. Simmons, the construct, had commented on it multiple times, how handsome and kind he was. It hadn't been until recently that those subconscious thoughts had become conscious. And Fitz is aware that he is still in love with Simmons, that he probably will be for a long time. But love and attraction are fueled by chemicals, and Fitz's chemicals want Mac. It makes Fitz feel guilty for the longest time. He almost wants to break Simmons' cover, just so he can talk to her about it. Almost. Fitz compiles a list of facts about Mac, and the odds of him liking Fitz back. It's short and not tipped in his favor, but he needed to do it. 1. From what Tripp has said, Mac has had at least 3 girlfriends. No male or other gendered partners have been mentioned. 2. Mac has never been anything but platonic with him. Tactile, but nothing sexual has ever been attempted. 3. Wanting him could be a proximity coping mechanism, but Fitz doesn't think so. He also doesn't think the opposite was true. 4. Sometimes Mac looks at him with the warmest eyes. He doesn't really plan to kiss Mac. He, in fact, never really planned to tell the other man about his feelings, was going to try and be content with the friendship they have. But then Mac was sitting on his bed, smiling at him, and talking about something or other. Fitz likes his face when he talks. He always looks so passionate, or laid back, or serious. His face is amazing, period. And his voice, and his personality, and God, his arms! Fitz gets so caught up in his train of thought that he leans forward and places a kiss on the other man's mouth. A very chaste kiss, not that Fitz has had many, before his mind has the chance to catch up. Mac goes completely still under him. Oh God! Panic surges through Fitz, and an apology, a plea for forgiveness, is on the tip of his tongue, and tears are forming in his eyes. But then Mac is curling a hand around his jaw and pulling Fitz back in to kiss him, so soft and warm. And God, it's so perfect, and Fitz is 50% sure that he is dreaming. Mac pulls back, grinning, and places his forehead against Fitz's. hand running softly through his still too short curls. "Just so you know, Fitz, we are not going any further than that until we have a proper talk and Dr. Smith confirms that you are fully able to consent. Okay?"
"Leopold."
"What?"
You can call me Leopold."
Mac grins.
"Alfonso."
The end.
Reader's notes. Thank you to the author for allowing me to record this fic. If you'd like to read it online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/2392724. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at padakaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.